Well, good morning, everybody. And praise the Lord. I'm just going to open up in prayer this morning. Father, we just praise you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to be a part of your plan. And Lord, I just lift up this service unto you, Lord, and that your words may be ministered unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. Another day. Praise God. Another opportunity. Praise the Lord. Another opportunity to serve Him. Now, it was interesting. I was listening yesterday. We went down to Lake Murray and I was listening to the Wednesday night Bible study in Texas. It was very good one, as usual. I probably could say that about every time, honestly, because I always get something out of it. And one of the things that was being talked about in there was, and one of the points that I remember very clearly to me was when Jesus showed himself to the 11 disciples, and he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. And, you know, I mean, he upbraided them in the sense of, man, he rattled their cage. I mean, he was just, the tone of which he carried out in that was, why did you not believe? I told you this was going to happen. Why didn't you believe those I sent unto you? The message I gave to them to give to you. Why didn't you believe? And it's so, I mean, when you look at it from that standpoint, I mean, have you ever, in the sense of, it's like you're sitting there, maybe you may be educating your children, or you might be, you know, teaching them, or you may be showing them something, or, you know, at work, for an example, I know that I teach others all the time about certain things. And it's like in a place where you tell them, look, if you do such and such and such and such, you'll get this result. And they don't do such and such and such and such, and they don't get that result, or they just don't believe you. They don't actually believe that will happen. You ever do that? It's like, I told you. And then they do it and they go, wow, it worked. You know, for an example, I was like, I told you it worked, you know. Why didn't you believe? I mean, I can understand just from on the side of kind of where Jesus is standing from, and just a tiny bit of a sense of where they just don't believe you. You know, it's like, I'm not telling you this for your harm. I'm telling you this for your good. You know what I mean? And yet you won't believe me. And I could just kind of understand, like, the offense it must be to the Lord. Yet the Lord sat there and he had laid down his life. He laid down his life for the whole world. I mean, he suffered many things. And he laid down his life for those disciples. Not just the disciples only, but for the sins of the whole world. And yet here they are. He's told them what was going to happen to him. He told them that he was going to be resurrected. And he told them all these things, and yet they didn't believe him. Now, when I look at myself, okay, and I take this point on a personal front, and when I look at myself of how many times I may start a thing, or Steve has suggested to me a thing, or the Lord has put me in charge of a thing, and yet I look at it from the standpoint of, like, okay, I'm going to do this thing, but I don't see how this is going to work. I just don't believe them is what I'm coming to. I mean, I come from it kind of like, all right, maybe this will happen. I'm going to go do this. I don't know, though, if it's really going to work out, you know what I mean? And I can only imagine how really offensive to the Lord that is, because what he has done and what he has already accomplished. I mean, you can take a look at just the children of Israel for an example, where yet he showed them his power over and over again. He rained bread from heaven. He had a mountain that followed him that flowed out water to feed the cattle and the 600,000 people, men that were there, not including women and children, and how he smote the Egyptians and swallowed them up in the Red Sea and showed his power in them. And when it came to them, him saying, you know, look, here's the promised land that I'm giving you, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. And not that they only did not believe him, but those that actually did believe, they were going to go kill. I mean, it is one of those things where it kind of is like, oh yeah. And I look at it on a personal front, just to my life. Do I believe him? And what he's done? And what he's said? Do I believe him? And it's amazing is when I actually just embrace that responsibility that he has put in front of me to do. And I actually step out in faith, believing him, putting off all the doubt and all the garbage that tries to derail me from actually wholeheartedly going about to serve him. It's amazing. Guess what happens? What he said was going to happen happens. It's the most amazing thing. And to me, it's an amazing thing. But why is it so amazing? I mean, it should be something that now at this point is just expected almost in that sense. Expected. And I say it from that standpoint is because one of the things in the Bible study that he was talking about is raising the bar and us looking unto Jesus, having our sights unto Jesus. Not having our sights down low as some of the things I was talking about that I had struggled with, kind of having my sights really, really down low. But raising our sights unto Jesus. Now, naturally, this can be a struggle and it could be a battle within ourselves. Look, man, we fight against that what? Unbelief. That what so easily besets us, as it talks about in Hebrews. So easily besets us. And it's really easy to look at ourselves, and I know, I mean, the big struggle that I have, but I look at myself. I look at the charge that's given me to do, and then I look at myself and I go, okay, that's impossible. Okay, because when I'm looking onto myself in these things, I recognize that I can do nothing without them. I can't do anything without them. I am a complete mess without them. And I'm reminded that on a constant basis. I don't know if that makes any sense. I mean, I'm reminded on that on a constant basis, not from others, just from myself. I'm reminded. I mean, because I see myself and I go, oh boy, that's a work. That's a struggle. That's the thing. I mean, and it's, you can easily, when you set your eyes upon yourself and what you're able to do, you're like, oh man, I can't do it. I can't do any of these things. Well, of course you can't do any of these things, but he can do all things. And then yet you then set your eyes on Jesus and what he has done, what he's able to accomplish, what he has already accomplished in your life as a testimony, but not just in your life, but we have a whole book of examples of what he's done in their life. How he had delivered the children of Israel time and time and time again. how he delivered Israel out of the hand of their enemies time and time and time again. And then we start looking upon him instead of ourselves. And then we can stand like Paul says, where he stands and he says, what? I can do what? All things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It was kind of funny. We had the youth ministry the other day and I was talking to Angie. And I remember being, and it's just an example and of a clip of what the Lord has done with me. It was kind of one of those things. I'm like, man, that's amazing, Lord. That's amazing. And then I also see it, you know, in my workplace. And one of these clips was, is I remember a long time ago, we had Davey and Robin was in the sheep shed at the time. Robin was getting her camper worked on, and Davey had said he wanted to get with me, and I didn't get with him quickly. And it was like a sharp rebuke right before service, and I felt like, you know, this big. Then he takes me into the camper, and then he talks to me about being the leader that I am unto the place where I'm called to be. And one of the things is I said, well, man, that's scary, and I don't see how that's going to be the case. You know, you're talking about, I guess that's a word I can take, the being that leader that the Lord has called me to be. And one of the, Robin looks at me correctly, and then, I mean, looks at me real quick and corrects me. She goes, I noticed, Phil, that Davey didn't say that the leader that you are called to be, but the leader that you are. And it was kind of funny because yesterday I know that, you know, Angie is the youth minister on the things that are going on, but I will come and partake of those things. And I will naturally take lead on things. I will naturally take lead on things. I'll naturally take lead at work on things. I wouldn't say naturally because it's really not natural. It's not my natural sense to do. I'm usually the one that would step back and let anybody else take lead except me. I mean, that's naturally, that's how I am. But what the Lord has done was brought that about in me. And I looked at that and I said, man, that's amazing, Lord. I mean, that's amazing, the work that you've done in me there. And that's only a work that he can do. And I just highlight that thing for a moment is because it is something that he has done. It's not something that I brought about myself. It's a work that he has done. And it's an amazing work. But I want to go to John chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 23. And I remember this all the way back years ago doing Bible study in Linda's house when Rick was down about this highlighting point. And it says, 23, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after the Lord had given thanks. All right, so there was a miracle that was done by the Lord where they only had like a couple loaves and a couple small fishes or one loaf of bread. I don't know. You can go back and read exactly how many it was. And they blessed the food and he asked the Father to multiply the food and it was multiplied and miracles happened. And there was a lot of people fed off just like a couple fishes and a loaf of bread. And Jesus at night went to the other side. He separated himself to pray and he went to the other side. And these people went to go find Jesus. When they found that Jesus wasn't there, they went to go find Jesus. And so this is where we're starting off. I just do a little recap before we go forward. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat with which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he hath sent." This is the work of God. Believe on him who he hath sent. Who did he send? He sent Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but this does not, I mean, is this rocket scientry here? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. You believe him. You believe him. I've talked to many people about, not many people, I've talked to, I know one particular person about reading the word and believing it. Just believing it. Not trying to channel it through your own intellect or your own carnal mind. Read it and believe it. Just believe them. Now that is very, very simple. Then you go to Hebrews 11 and you see examples of people that, what? Believed God. They just believed God. And because they believed God, what did they do? They obeyed God. That's what they did. And it's just so simple. You know, without him I can do nothing. But in him I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. With him I can do all things that he's called me to do. That he's called me to do. According to what? His will. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a great relief. But it's one that we struggle with. Oh, man. I remember we struggled. I mean, I remember just, do you believe him that he, that his sacrifice? I mean, you just go down to that one very first starting place. Do you believe him that he paid the price for your sin on the cross, that his grace is sufficient for you? Do you believe him for that? See, do you believe him? Do you believe him that he's going to give you everything you need when you put your hands to the thing that he's called you to do? Do you believe him for that? See, and I take this here because, look, man, if we talk about by faith meeting him in the air when he comes, right? Now, the faith that he's going to what? Resurrect you at the end to go be with him. See, it's very presumptuous of us to think that we are going to be able to go meet him up in the air, for an example, if we don't even have the, if we can't even believe him, let me put it this way. If we can't even believe him for the things right now. I mean, the things just to be a father to your children or a mother to your children. Or to be that employee unto your boss. Whatever the case may be, whatever comes, the thing that the Lord's called you to be. What makes us think that we're going to meet him in the air and believe him that he's going to resurrect us from the dead if we can't believe him for the things that we are to do right now? But it's a very simple thing. It's a thing that yet we struggle with. It's a thing that what can so easily beset us, that unbelief. But yet when we just make that choice to believe him, it's amazing what happens. It's amazing what happens. I mean, I just take a small example, and I'm looking at the wall that's been built in our room. It's done. The girls' room has been moved over, and the baby's room is now established. I look across at the lot and the things that have been getting done, and I'm looking at the whiteboard. The roof is about to get started working on the chapel. I'm looking at all these things, and I remember a visitation from Ricky about putting these things on the whiteboard, and you know, the place where you can yet see them. And I remember, you know, some more provocation, I guess was the word, provoking into believing the Lord in these things. Because look, I was in a high place. I remember Rick Down. I was in a high place of doubt on a lot of these things. I was in a high place of doubt. I mean, I didn't see how a mighty work would be starting to get done here, even though I had yet a testimony and testimony after and after of how he showed up mightily in many, many other things, you know. But I must confess, I was at a place of doubt in the midst of these things. And it wasn't until that place where it's like, you know what, the Lord is big enough. He is big enough, and he will. So I started doing these things, writing these things out on the whiteboard. And as the things started getting knocked off, the Lord started opening up all kinds of things. And not only that, he started doing a work amongst the people. It started uniting the body together. It was like a double-edged sword. Yeah, the physical stuff was getting done, but so was there a bunch of other stuff being done in the midst of it. And I'm going, man, praise God. This is better than I imagined, man. This is amazing. This is an awesome work. And yet I know that that's just a taste of what the Lord really has for us if we yet believe Him and come together as we ought. It's just a taste. Just a taste of it. And yet I get excited. I get excited about what the Lord has. I get excited about the Lord has. Yeah, I get those moments. I hit that wall. You know, it's like, move, 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 boom, hit a wall. And it's a wall of unbelief, you know. It's a wall of, you know, maybe tiredness, maybe a wall of weariness, or just absolutely exhaustion. And you know what it is? It's because my eyes started becoming off Jesus. My eyes started looking upon myself. My eyes started looking upon the things that maybe I wanted to do instead of what He would have me do. And all these things. And yet then I gotta repent unto the Lord. What does it say to what? Count it all what? Joy when you what? Fall into diverse temptations. That means many temptations. It's a place that I have to. And what you count it all joy for is because I look back unto the cross. I look back and say, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. I fell once again. I've let things get in the way. I've let that unbelief rise up. I've let up whatever the case may be. And I go and I repent. I put my heart out upon Him. I ask the Lord to forgive me. And it's amazing. And I get back up. And I step back out in faith. And guess what? There it is. Shows up mightily. Once again. And it might be many struggles I struggle with. It might be parenting. It might be at work. It might be many things. I know, for an example, this past week at work, I remember the challenge that I had before me of straightening out the shop and the things that were to come about, all these things. And I'm looking at this at the very beginning of the week. I am scared, man. I am like quaking in my boots. I'm scared. I'm like, you know, here I was excited about it. I'm like, all right, when am I going to get ball rolling? Because they quite didn't put me active at that place of where I was, the position that were supposed to put me in. And when they put me in that position and they finally said, okay, here are now where I want you to go and do that, which do I want you to do that and straighten this place out. And they didn't give me an ABC book. They didn't go in there and do A, go in there, B, do B. They gave me like a short outline and said, go have fun. There you go. Poof, do it, Phil. And I'm going, oh boy, I'm scared. You know, here I was excited. I'm like, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? You know, I'm excited. I'm jumping up in the air and I'm going, all right, let's go. Let's go. Let's do this. And then they're like, all right, Phil, here it is. And now I'm going, oh man. Oh, I'm scared. Oh boy, I'm scared. Oh boy, I'm scared. I want to run away. I want to hide. You know what I did though? I got on my knees. I said, Lord, I know I cannot do this without you. Lord, I know that this thing that is before me to do is way bigger than me. It's way bigger than me. And Lord, I need you and I want to be that which you would have me be here. I want to be a blessing unto the place there, Lord. I want to be able for the people to receive good things that they can have a better way of going forward and managing the shop and getting some things done. And Father, I want to be a blessing unto the company in this thing, and I just want your blessings to roll down upon them. Because it's not like I have anything to offer except you, Lord. You know, and I get up and I pray these things. And so first day goes around and we start getting some things established and getting things cleaned up. And it's a most amazing thing because these guys were willing. They were ready to go. I mean, they were just not just, you know, willing. There was some justification, but you know, I had to kind of nick them. But they were willing. Everything I said to do, they would go about doing it. And guess what happened, man? I mean, the shop started getting busier. Okay, they started getting more phone calls. At first day goes around, and it wasn't like I saw a difference, really. I didn't know really where I made that much of a difference at all. Second day rolls around, and going about establishing some more things and going in there. And, you know, I get home and it was like a place of, and then I still was like, I don't know if I'm making any bit of difference here. You know, I mean, I see a little bit of change. I don't know if make third day comes around and man, we get free lunch. That place hasn't had free lunch in a long time because we did the number of tires that was asked for and then some above. I mean, we had a great busy day, did some big things. And not only that, man, you could see at the end of that third day where the Lord actually has did not just establish a thing with me being there, but it established a thing with them to go forward and do. And they were excited. I mean, there was a group that kind of was not excited. They felt kind of, they were a little bit offended. They were a little bit taken back. They were a little bit, they knew that they were on the radar of the bosses. And they were kind of in a down place at first. But you can see where they were actually yet excited about the things I'm going forward in. And not only that, it did with the other bosses and everything. They seen a great change. Now, I was quite frankly surprised of the great change that was made, and David coming over saying thank you. And I actually did talk to David about some of the things that were kind of skewed, I believe, were on the boss's part about their willingness in these things, because they were very willing. And so, but you could see you could see clearly the hand of the Lord in it all. And then Clay, one of the owners, comes up to me and says, you know what, Philip, thank you so much. This happened in 3 days. I mean, 3 days, folks. This is an amazing thing. I mean, this thing, I mean, I thought would be like a month long. But this happened yet in 3 days. It was amazing. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And then the one Clay comes up to me and goes, Phil, you need to be at this store. See, I was at a different store that last day, that old my 4 day week that I had. I was in, because, man, these things were, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you need to keep the bars moving, man. Phil, you need to, I told David, you don't need to remove from this place at all. They need you here. I said, are you serious right now? I mean, I was absolutely astonished at that thing. I said, well, yeah, Clay, I was at number. I know. Well, I wish I could just clone you. And I said, well, that'd be nice. I said, as long as I don't really have to be everywhere at the place. He goes, no, we could just pay you them, you know. So, I mean, I say this from a standpoint of, because I recognize that it was the Lord. Okay, and I did also let them know in the sense that, man, the Lord did a great work. And I thank him for that. Because I went in that place scared. I went into that place shaking in my boots. And I had to get on, I had to get honest with the Lord and get to that place where I knew that without him I could do nothing. And what happened was I got up being able to do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthened me. And the thing that I saw, quite frankly, really, is I didn't really do that much. I saw the Lord doing all these things. And I saw His might working in all these things. And His strength. But see, that's a place where the things... See, that's not tainted. See, that's of Him. I remember Steve talking about... highlighting a point last week in his service about... let brotherly love continue. And he highlighted the word let. Because guess whose love it is that you allow to work? Is His love to you allow to work in you for the brethren. See, it's not something that you manufacture. It's not something that you create. It's something that you yet receive to yet go carry forward. And you can carry forward it in your daily lives. In your daily lives. And you, what you do is you bring these things to the light on a constant basis. I know people that have been blessed time and time again by just bringing things to the light. Bringing things to the light. Getting suggestions. And what they're doing is they're bringing things unto the Lord. How do they bring things to the Lord? They bring them to their discipler or their minister. And the Lord gives that discipler or that minister the thing for that person to go do or the way to go handle. And if they will just trust the Lord and move in faith in that, I mean, it's a great opportunity. The Lord will honor it. Even if the person is wrong in their advice. But it's so critical for us to give out everything, all the information, so that discipler can get that great advice. Not holding anything back. Not holding the struggle back. Not holding any of these things. Because look, it gives you, the more you give, the more accurate advice that you can get to go yet go forward in. But if the advice is wrong, for an example, guess what happens? The Lord will honor it anyways. Did He not do that with Abraham and Sarah? Where Sarah was obedient unto Abraham? And the king took her and he goes, no, that's not my wife, that's my sister. As he went to a strange land, you know why he feared that? Because he saw that they did not fear God. So he was scared. He thought he'd be killed and his wife would be taken. So he says, man, tell him you're my sister. And Sarah goes, okay, it was obedient unto Abraham. I mean, the Lord did tell Abraham that, look, man, I will curse them that curse thee, and I will bless them that bless thee. All right, so what did Abraham have to fear? Nothing. But Abraham struggled with a little bit of unbelief right there, did he not? Yes, he did. And so what happened was, told Sarah, tell me my sister, what happens? The king takes her in of that land, takes him for to be his wife. And then all these cursings started piling up upon that king. And then the king goes to Abraham, what have you done to me? What have you done to me? All these cursings are coming upon me. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? God's fixing to kill me. Please pray for me. Abraham prayed for him. All those things came off of him. He gave him his wife back. I mean, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, it all comes down to just what? Believing Him. And see, that was another way that the Lord was showing that, see, where the Lord was faithful unto Abraham. And the Lord was honoring His promise unto Abraham. See, the Lord is not a liar. And in Him is light. And there's no darkness at all. See, He's not a liar, and He's faithful. And what He says He's going to do, and what His Word says is going to happen, guess what? That's going to happen. And guess what? We can believe that. We don't have to doubt that. And it doesn't matter how you are. Or what struggles you have. Or what incapabilities you have. or insecurities you have, or how by nature you are, because by nature you are contrary to him and his ways. See, it doesn't matter. That's what he died on the cross for. So yet I know for me, in listening to that past Wednesday services, putting my eyes upon Jesus. And see, we can be a part of his plan, his promises. We can be a part of all of those things. All of those things. If you will yet just believe them. Believe them to the point where you obey them. And you step out in faith according to his will. It's an amazing thing. An amazing thing. And I know for myself, I have nothing but tasted it. Had nothing but touched up the redemption, the amazing grace, the things I know that he has so much more. And if you've been looking in all the wrong places, and if you've been failing around and not doing these things, you know what? You know what you can do? You can go to him. You can talk to him about anything. You can go and you can repent between you and the Lord. And you can receive all those good things. You can receive of his love. You can receive of his faith. You can receive of his grace. You can be strengthened in might by the inner man. And in his spirit you can cast out all high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. By him you can do all those things. Is that something you guys want? It's something I want. It's something I want. So all that nonsense that tells you otherwise, all that unbelief that comes up, that carnal mind that tells you contrary to God's will, man, put down. Don't buy it anymore. Look your eyes, put your eyes upon him and what he's able to do. There's another thing about comparing yourself that he mentioned in that thing. And it's not about comparing yourself to one another, but it's about comparing yourself to Jesus. We're to what? As it says in 1 John, an epistle, to what? Walk as he walked. And if you're not walking as he walked, well, somewhere to actually get in your closet and get with him in, those are the things that you need to repent of. Get shed of. And recognize that it is by him you can do all these things. And him only. And in all good things comes down from what? The Father of lights. It comes down from him. It all comes down from him. And that's what you receive of. That's the only good thing that you can offer. I mean, you can't offer anything else. What's acceptable to God was Jesus' sacrifice. That's it. So what is it that you offer? Jesus. What is it that's of any good thing that you can offer others? Jesus. So to offer others Jesus, what do you need to get? Jesus. So let's get Jesus. And how do you get Jesus? You get Jesus on your knees before him humbly. It's simple. It's not complicated. All right, I'm done with that. And we're going to sing another song. And this is one of my favorite songs, I do have to say, that has been done. May the Lord bless you guys.